Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system which is usually in the bottom right hand corner to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Welcome to Becoming Heisenberg. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for Breaking Bad on AMC and Netflix. I'm your host Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is David. How's it going?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Excellent. This is for season 3, episode 9, Cascafay. I think is how you...
No, Cascaf.
Cascaf, yeah.
Cascaf.
Right.
Cascai-esque. Get it right.
It's the one before the other one. What did you think of this episode?
I really liked it. It's shifting things around again. Should sort of give a definition of Cascai-esque. Terrible pronouncing this. It's just in case people don't know what that means. It is based on a novelist called Franz Kafka, and he wrote a lot of novels that were a sort of oppressive and nightmarish, but it had a lot to do with bureaucracy and red tape and you know, people being stuck in this sort of just nightmarish sort of humdrum kind of world, and that's where it gets the title from. So there are themes of that come across in the episode of sort of, you know, the way that they are the usage of it when he mentions it to Jesse. It was perfectly correct, but obviously Jesse doesn't understand what that means. But there are themes of it in the way that it's actually set up, in that they're sort of treating this drug business kind of like a day job, like a sort of office job, you know. So there is a certain amount of that to it. But that's the meaning of it. The episode itself, though, I'd say you've got sort of nice stuff with Gus in there, you've got Sol back in, your sort of aftermath of what's going on with Hank. They've now had to reveal that the vault's got quite a lot of money and all that sort of stuff. So it's been really good episode I thought this week.
Yeah, definitely. I liked a lot of things in it as well. I liked getting more into the sort of super lab in this episode as well. That was very, very good. It's interesting to see Jesse's kind of movements in this episode as well. So yeah. Another very, very good one. It's good to see Soul again. I'm wondering when we see Mike a bit more, but that's obviously probably a bit later still again. I think we see him a few times in season four. But no, still a very, very good episode. It's a shame to see, you know, what Hank's going through and all that, although he's still got a joke up his sleeve, so that's still quite good as well. And yeah, more stuff with Walt and Skyler, certainly as well. It's interesting as well looking at those two and sort of how their back and forth works. Because as I've said a couple of times before, this is very much a male ego-driven show. Because if you look at a lot of the main characters, and obviously Skyler, I do consider obviously a main character. Most of the people driving things forward in this show or creating things are the men in the show, and that's not a bad thing, that's not a problem, it's just it's what the show is. But obviously the main conceit of the show is to do with one man and how he's balancing his control and power, and obviously he eventually fails to control that power. That was interesting it was interesting, sorry, the point I was trying to make with that was with the whole male ego sort of side of that is how Skyler balances Walt out in a lot of scenes and episodes. She's very much the one that he can't sort of always find a way around, and that bothers him. But that's also in a good thing for the show because it makes the show more interesting. But yeah, just with the whole money thing, and I learned from the best and all that. And it's not only that Walt he doesn't want to go against Skylar, obviously, because one of the reasons he's doing what he's doing is for her and their two kids, obviously, or children. And so he doesn't want to go against her, but he sort of tries to, and it's kind of this very interesting back and forth. As much as the back and forth between, let's say, Gus and Walt is very interesting, and sort of Walt and Jesse and Walt and other characters, the one between him and Skylar is not only still interesting but different to those two. So I thought those things played out well in those types of scenes as well. So I think that's what we've got for the pre-talk. I don't know if it's just me, but this recap looks longer than what it usually is. So we should get to housekeeping and doing all that, and then crack on with it. We'll see for that all in a minute. All right, recently on Entertainment Talk, just again another mention. This is working, by the way, this little mention I'm doing. A Classic Review Season 6. Although I've never really talked about a piece of content in this way, one that's not actually out yet and one that's not coming up until in a few months' time. Classic Review Season 6 is obviously where I go and review classic TV shows, games, and films, all that sort of thing. It works well for what it is. There is already 5 seasons and a bonus season to go and take a look at. You don't need to sort of catch up with it per se, but that there's those seasons out for that. So if you're curious about that, before season 6 comes out, you can go and catch up with that. Apparently what I'm doing here is working, by the way, because there's been a little bit of an uptick, not like a major uptick, but a little bit more of an uptick of traffic for that. But I suppose the thing is with a series like that, if I don't mention it and people just tune in for this week to week and stuff, you might not even know it exists, because we do have quite a lot of series and things like that. So it's just worth mentioning that different series exist, because there is quite a few different things that we do. Yeah, that's Classic Reviews, and it's very, very different. The whole process for it is very different compared to anything else that we do, so go and check that out in the meantime. Podcasts are available also to listen to right now. I did a Diabolical 7 podcast, which is for the boys, but not for the boys this time, for Gen V, the upcoming season 1 spin-off of the very popular show The Boys. Apparently it's based off of one of the volumes of one of the comic books for the show, for the main show, so we'll see how that goes. That's going to be starting on September 29th with 3 episodes. There'll be a podcast at some point on that Friday, so take that for what you will. And then there'll be another 5 weeks, I think it's 5 more weeks worth of podcasts. But yeah, Gen V. Look, I admittedly didn't have any interest in it at all, let alone podcasting on it, until we saw the first trailer. And that looked very interesting. What do you think of that show that's coming out?
I've only seen obviously the bits of the trailer and stuff. I am interested to see how it works and how well it plays out, and hopefully it's a good show that stands on its own and you know isn't just trading off the name of the boys. It looks kind of interesting, so yeah.
So that's coming up very soon. Over on video game reviews, I finished Star Wars Jedi Survivor. And it was not good for a lot of different reasons. There was a couple of positive things to point out. It was in a better state than I remember when I talked to you about it before a couple of months ago when I played it. It is in a better state, but not one that I would describe as acceptable. It's fixed a few things, but I mean, this is AAA multi-million dollar game development. Like these.
I mean, so. I playing through that, I only had one major bug. The rest of it played perfectly well. There was only one major bug for that, but I would argue I'd expect some of that because I'm on a PC, and you know it's difficult doing that for PC. If you're on a console, kind of don't think there should be any major kind of issues with it, particularly at this point because it's been out a while and you're on a console. You know what you're working with that. With a PC, there's a lot of variables. With a console, you know what the platform is. So,
But I gave that a hard skip rating because I cannot recommend the game. So there's that. There's no spoiler section in that, by the way, because I couldn't be bothered to talk about spoilers. So there's that. Over on the United cast, there was not a game this week because England were doing the England thing. But Man United and the Premier League are back this weekend. I really don't like international breaks, especially as the season just started. Anyway, this episode is updates on Donny van de Beek, Jadon Sancho, Eric Bailly, Mason Greenwood and Anthony. Lots of different things going on with lots of those players. The thing I did with that episode, which is key to remember, because of the, I'm not going to even describe what's going on with Anthony and Greenwood. If you know what's going on, you know there. Because of these subject matters attained to what's going on with those players, I saved a discussion for that for the second half. I give you a very clear, like, okay, if you don't want to hear about that stuff because of what's going on, as like a jumping off point that you can use as well. Because, there's some things going on with those players. But anyway, on the more normal side of things, talked about Donny, Sancho and Eric Bailly. So we'll see how that goes with those. Over on Gaming Talk this past week, we talked about Polyarc. Gave a VR update. They're the developers of the Moss games. Talked about Starfield. And we talked about Stray, which is getting an animated film, which is very cool. Breaking Bad podcast for last week. Over on the United cast, we lost 3-1 to Arsenal in a very unlucky game. We'll see how we'll do this weekend against Brighton and then midweek next week against Bayern Munich. Did the chat podcast for August 2023, did a mental health update, talked a bit about Trump. That information is probably a bit outdated by now, but there's that, and then some other podcast plans and other things and stuff like that. Did a Don't Skip review for Oxenfree 2. Did a podcast talking about the future of Toy Story, and that is what we've been doing recently on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. We start off with someone talking about cooking chicken in a very nice, cool sort of way, and we get a montage of Meth being moved. Gus stands by the Los Pollos trucks as they drive off. Very quick, very simple, but leads into, I guess it's like parallels and stuff as to what's going on with Walt and Jesse, about like packing stuff and that sort of thing. One of Breaking Bad's more simple kind of cold opens and those sorts of things. So I thought it was an interesting way to kick off the episode. Don't know, there's a ton to talk about here, but that was your cold open anyway. What do you think of this one?
I mean, it's quite, no, it's an advert basically for a Los Polos Hermanos, and it's quite nice that, and it's sort of, the montage kind of drifts into them actually kind of sticking the meth in the barrels and that sort of stuff. So you get to see a bit of how he's moving things, and it's exactly what you'd sort of get for that sort of ad. And the fact that it goes, works very much as that sort of ad. And is also a complete lie, because I mean, you know, they're talking about it being slow cooked and all that sort of thing, when I mean we've seen that they've got chicken fryers and all that sort of stuff in the it's all a lie. But yeah, I mean it's Quite a nice, interesting, fun way of opening it, I thought.
Yeah, there's that. Walter White and Jesse Pinkman are now in full production in the new lab and are easily producing 200 pounds of meth each week. As per their quota, Jesse finds that they are even overproducing and is resentful when Walt refuses to allow him to remove the extra pounds from the shipment, particularly since he has calculated that Gus Fring will net at least 96 million, not too bad, by the end of their 3 month contract. While the two of them are only receiving a combined payment of 1.3, so 1.5 each. Despite doing all that work, Walt, however, is unconcerned by this and simply brushes off Jesse's complaints as he's being unappreciative. It's a couple of good, like, Walt comedy moments, well, not really comedy moments, but like, oh, you did math kind of thing. It's interesting what these two kind of think of each other at times. But I know that this is like stressful stuff and obviously it's money based and all that. So there's that. But it, I mean, he does kind of consider what Gus is saying because he goes to speak to him about the contract, sort of, well, not really contract, but the deal later on. I know sometimes in this is like, okay, who do you side with? I can see arguments on both sides. Because it's, okay, Jesse is looking at that and thinking, okay, even though we're only doing a little bit more, it's adding up and he's done his own, you know, maths and all that. And 96 million is obviously a lot more than 1.5 or even 3 combined, which they've got. And he's like, hey, he's kind of like, you know, doing dodgy stuff with numbers and sort of things like that. But and I kind of understand that. And agree with that. On the same side, I also agree with Walt as well, of like, okay, it's fair that you're arguing about this, but you're going to be a millionaire and mm-hmm. you shouldn't be, from something you shouldn't legally be doing, obviously, and you should be grateful for that. I feel part of Walt's kind of, like, before he started doing this and gaining any sense of control in his life, which again is part of sort of like that season one journey. It feels a bit of, you know, when it was kind of like from the pilot episode and it was sort of, he's not very impressive. He's got this nice wife. Is she out of his league? He's got this son with, you know, a condition and that's going on. He's got things that are like piled on top of being piled on. And it's kind of, his brother's really cool. He's in the DEA. He's showing this video in the pilot of like, hey, we caught these guys and they had all this stuff and look how cool this is. And I'm a cool DEA agent. And his brother-in-law, Walt in this case, is, you know, this overqualified teacher and he's not really pushing himself forward, whereas Hank's always being challenged and he's just, you know, there was, I mean, I guess that's where it all kind of started off from, right? Because that was his trigger of sort of, hey, I've got cancer and I see this drug business thing going on, you know, what my brother showed me and I'm going to go on a drive along. And that was obviously the start of him gaining some confidence. It almost feels like in this, it's sort of, I was a bit downbeaten before and I'm grateful now. Even though, yes, the money is, like the maths is not true or correct or whatever from what it should be, it more feels like, hey, we're gaining money and I'm happy about that because I've gained more control kind of over that. And to him, it's maybe kind of, I not only have gained a bit more control, but I managed to do this deal with Gus and that's like put his confidence up a bit more. Whereas Jesse is not in any of those situations at all. And he feels that they're just being fobbed off a bit. So what do you kind of think of their disagreement here?
I mean, I do take Jesse's point in that, I mean, they are making, the company is making a lot more, you know, Gus is making a lot more out of this and they are the ones cooking it. However, Gus is also taking a lot more of the risk and he is the person that is running the network. He's actually distributing. It's not like Jesse and Walt could distribute on the level that they are distributing. They couldn't have set up the super lab like they did.
No.
You know, I mean,
it'd still be in their RV.
Yes, it
or
is.
Or get a new one.
Their product. And arguably, I mean, you could say they should be getting more than what they are getting, because I don't know what the percentages are, but it is a very small percentage of the overall amount. But I think it would be disingenuous to say that they should be maybe splitting it 50-50 with Gus. I mean, which is, I think, maybe what Jesse would be sort of angling for. I mean, they are employees of a business. It's not a legal business, but they are employees of a business. It is their product. And, I mean, arguably, Gus could still do this without them. He wants the best product he can get, which is the blue meth.
Yeah, the Heisenberg blue, yeah.
But, Gail, I think, would be perfectly capable of cooking reasonable large quantities of meth in that lab on his own. It wouldn't be the same formula, and it wouldn't be exactly what Walt had. But, at the end of the day, it's meth. People either want it or they don't. So
yeah, it would not be as adequate as Gus might say.
It would not be
as
adequate, but it would still sell. I mean, they might not be able to sell it quite for the same amount, but I think, yes, there is an argument you could go back and ask for more. But the other issue with that is the way Walt and Gus deal with each other, they're doing it in a very professional manner. And Walt has agreed a contract. When he went in and asked, there would be an argument for him when he went and sat down later on to maybe up that amount. But, I mean, Walt's also got reasonable point in the fact that, for God's sake, Jesse, you're a millionaire. What are you arguing about? Yes, you could argue that they should be earning more money, but it's not like they could do this on their own. So, there is an argument for maybe a little bit more, but I don't think there's an argument for them to be, like, suddenly having it all,
Yeah, yeah. Hank is still recovering in the hospital, and Steve Gomi shows up to tell him that the blue meth has made a comeback in several states, thus confirming Hank's suspicion that Heisenberg has not yet been captured. This also proves, like, Hank's whole thing. I mean, all that's been proven by now, so that's good. that Heisenberg has not yet been captured. Hank is nevertheless dissatisfied and reveals that the only reason he's still alive is that he got a warning call a minute before his would-be assassins attacked him. Instantly suspicious. It says here instantly suspicious of Walt. I don't think that's written correctly. Instantly suspicious Walt. Oh, sorry, no, it's to do with Skylar. Instantly suspicious of Walt, Skylar White asks him if they are and he are safe. Walt assures her that they are. I think he's lying to her again. But, obviously it's to reassure her and stuff. Because, to be honest, to say... I mean, from the moment he got involved with all this until the finale of the show, Walt's never what you could class as safe. Apart from, obviously, when the cousins got taken off of him onto Hank, but, still. But I get why he's saying that to her. It was also in the way in that particular little car scene, the way they talk to each other, there's like a totally different tone and all that kind of thing of like... This is a bit bigger than just, oh, you've been lying and you've been doing meth. It's kind of like, are we okay? Are you going to be okay? I noticed a very different sort of tone here, and I thought that was a very... Again, it's that kind of Skylar and Walt kind of back and forth, but that one was like a little bit different, I thought. You've got another one of those. It's a little bit more in the background in this scene, but when Gomi's talking to Hank, obviously on the bed... And he's, like, talking about everything, and he's saying about this one-minute thing. And, again, there's this... What was it I called it last week? This, like, a silent... I think I said silent guilt or something like that on Walt's face. And I think that's a very, like, interesting mechanic they use kind of in the show when someone is, like, mentioning, like, oh, this thing kind of happened, and Walt immediately sort of perks up and thinks, oh, wait, that was probably to do with me, to do with something that, like... one of Gus's people or something like that he's probably thinking of. So I thought that was a good use for that again. Yeah, kind of clearing up with Hank of, like, you know, about what's going on and seeing what Walt was going to do next. I thought this was another good scene. What do you think?
Another good scene there as well. The sort of thing about the warning call, I can't remember exactly how that ends up, if that ends up coming back anywhere else. I mean, obviously it makes Walt suspicious at that point, but that's where he starts putting pieces together. But I can't remember whether that actually comes back later on.
Because in this episode, he asks Gus if that was him, but Gus doesn't say, "Oh yeah, it was me," does he?
Just really doesn't give anything away when they have that face-to-face meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I just can't remember whether that actually comes back later on as well. Outside of just sort of giving Walt that hint that, the putting pieces together. Mm-hmm.
So that was quite good. Though Hank is now conscious and says here functioning, that's an interesting word to use. His legs are mostly paralyzed, and the prognosis is that he may never be able to walk again, even with months of physical therapy. They do some like tests on his feet and his legs and things like that. Pretty standard stuff. His doctor tells Marie that the therapy he needs is unlikely to fall within their insurance plan. Stupid American health thing. And they would most likely end up having to pay out of pocket. An interesting thing to bring up in this type of show. Which could end up costing them hundreds of thousands of dollars. I didn't remember any of this.
Did when it came up, but yeah, it was one of those things like you mentioned last week. It wasn't until you actually got into it though, and oh yeah, I do remember this happening.
I remember Hank being on the bed and stuff. I didn't remember this money thing coming up. But again, it's interesting to bring up considering obviously, you know, Walt and the money and all that. It fits very nicely into the show. So, again, it's a shame to somebody a couple of weeks ago wrote in, didn't they? And said, like, they feel so sorry for Hank, and obviously there's a big clash there, which is you want what's best for Hank because he's trying to do the right thing, but you don't want him to succeed because if he succeeds too early in the show, he catches Walt, and then, you know, you might not get 5 seasons. Just him in this state, and, like, how many different kind of, what do we want to call them? Situations has Hank been in? There was the head exploding, then there was him being shot, then there was, what other ones was there? Obviously there's been, like, you know, he's had sort of PTSD type episodes and things like that. He had his sort of mental health struggles and things in between those events. He's really quite been through it, so it's a shame to see, but an interesting way to kind of bring up money again into the show, into a thing which has got nothing to do with Walt's actual plan for his money. I thought that was quite good. What do you think of this one, this bit?
Go on. Which bit are we talking about again? My brain's
so when they're talking about that you might not be able to walk and the money for the therapy.
Got distracted momentarily. It's what we go back to talking about quite a lot with this is what Breaking Bad is a show that in any other part of the world, if it was set like literally anywhere else in the world, could not exist, because if it was anywhere else in the world, he would have just gone into a hospital and had cancer treatment, and that would have been it. Pretty much, you know, he wouldn't have felt this desperate need to sort of make a ton of money. And I mean, I know the money is for his family should he actually die, but a lot of it was to do with the sort of payments of the treatment and that sort of stuff, and it just wouldn't have gone anywhere near the same way. And this is another highlight of that, of like, well, anywhere else in the world, he'd just get the treatment. But in America...
So what are the countries that don't have... Obviously, there's like third world countries, which are really bad and stuff. But what other countries are similar to America that
Nobody has a system which is ridiculous as the American system. Pretty much every other country, I mean, like ours, you have the NHS, plus you can take out private health insurance as well. But the NHS covers everybody regardless. And pretty much every other first world country has that system. Universally across the board, pretty much everybody will get some form of free healthcare regardless of their income level. So you are guaranteed that you will get some form of help. Whereas the American system, you basically can bankrupt yourself just because you're unfortunate enough to get cancer or need, you know, in this case, get beaten up by somebody and then, you know, or shot by somebody, and that could potentially bankrupt you. And the system that they use over there is because it's all run through insurance companies. Insurance companies are attached to particular medical, attached to particular doctors. So there are only certain doctors that are in your certain network. You can go and use a doctor that's outside your network, but if you do that, then it potentially costs you more money. So you're never getting the help that you might not be getting the help that you actually need. It's a really, really screwed up system. And they kind of think, I mean, you, that it, they've, the American public, I think, have been slightly brainwashed into this sort of idea that's the only way you can kind of do it. And, you know, and it's like we don't have free healthcare over here because we pay for everything through taxes. But it's still a damn sight cheaper than, you know, I mean, we don't, you go into hospital over here and have a baby, for example, that will cost you nothing outside of the taxes which you already have to pay, which are minuscule compared to the amount of money you have to pay in insurance. There's no co-pays, there's no, because it's like any insurance thing in America. You know, it's like any insurance thing here. You know, if you have a car crash over here, you might have an excess, what we call as an excess, and that's what they call a copay. So, you know, you might pay the first, say, £500 of whatever the damage is if you have a car crash, and then the insurance covers the rest of it. And it's the same with medical insurance in the US, and they refer to that as copays. So, but there's none of that. So you're not out of pocket at all. If you get cancer or have a heart attack or whatever, you go to hospital, it's sorted, and you come out and there's no bill.
Right.
And that's pretty much the same in every other civilized nation around the world, apart from America.
Oh, America.
And I mean, even to the point that I've heard stories of people not calling ambulances because they don't want the bill. Wow. You know, somebody chops a finger off and drives themselves to the hospital because of the fact that they don't want to pay for an ambulance, or they'll they'll get an Uber, you know, to go to the hospital. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say America's got a few things to sort out, quite a few things to sort out. So
yeah, it is very screwed up. You know, it's one of those things that doesn't seem that odd, I think, to Americans in America, but to the rest of the world, it's deeply strange, their healthcare system, because it just doesn't, well, their health insurance system, should I say. It's not a healthcare system, it's a health insurance system, and it's a scam. I think there's quite a lot of people that don't realize quite how much of a scam it is compared to everywhere else in the world.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Walt meets with Gus at his discretion to center, sorry, distribution center to clear the air. Hank's revelation that he received a phone call before his attack has led Walt to the conclusion that Gus was the one who diverted the cartel assassins away from him and directed them towards Hank instead, so that an attempted hit on a DEA agent would get the American and Mexican governments to crack down hard on the cartel and close off the distribution of meth across the border, thereby granting Gus complete control over the market from within the states. Despite having put Hank's life in jeopardy, Walt nevertheless expresses gratitude towards Gus for saving his own life and commends him for his strategy, saying that he'd have done the same in Gus's position. He also brings up the issue of not knowing what will happen when his 3-month contract has expired. Gus promises him security for his family and also brings up the possibility of extending their contract to a year, which would increase his earning to $15 million. Walt considers it. Walt, seemingly disoriented due to his loyalty to Gus and his family, loses control of his vehicle and nearly crashes on his way back. I was initially a bit puzzled as to, like, usually in an episode of TV, if a character goes into a state like that, there's usually obviously deliberate reason. Like when we've seen Hank have his sort of, I don't know what else to call them apart from episodes, like his PTSD and things like that, but you know why that's sort of been, because obviously the things Hank has been through. This obviously is more of like a mental thing. He's not been, you know, physically hurt or anything like that. It's more like, again, kind of what's that, you know, tug and pull of what's sort of going on in his mind has just caused him to be, well, I say distracted, it's more a case of he just, you know, starts going really, really fast and almost crashes into a car or into a massive truck thing. So, yet again, obvious thing to say, Bryan Cranston and Giancarlo Esposito on screen is just pure magic. Mm-hmm. The thing is as well, when you, because these aren't two characters that really shout at each other or try to be dramatic, they're just having a conversation.
Yeah.
And you can tell, and I love when these two have scenes together. It's just so good on every level you could think of or describe. Because it's down to, because there's not much, although there's facial acting going on, they're not sort of getting up and emoting or moving their arms about and stuff. In fact, Gus is very kind of, you know, still, and so is Walt. It's more just a kind of conversation of minds almost. It's really, really quite incredible the way they both pull it off. And yeah, on the surface, it might look like, okay, two actors have been given lines, they're going to sit in a room and dish them out. But they're not just, this never feels, well, you could say this across Breaking Bad, but particularly between these two when they're having a conversation, it never kind of feels like, oh, just stick Brian and Giancarlo in a room and just get them to say their lines, to try and get it all done in one go and just, you know, job done for the day. Because some scenes you can tell, not in this show, in lesser shows, are certainly more rushed or not executed quite so well. And we don't know how many takes these sort of things take or whatever sort of going on, but it's on the surface something that looks very simple, but just, it's just the quality of like dialogue delivery, facial acting, and just tone and all those sorts of things. It's so, so good. And we've pointed out a number of times between these two, and we'll continue to do so when they have scenes together. So, yeah, interesting, again, the conversation between the two of them. I really like the level of somewhat unexpected, at times unexpected respect that Gus has got towards Walt. But you understand it, and to Walt, this is like his special guy, you know. This is him trying to get more of that Heisenberg blue, so to speak. And mm-hmm. He doesn't want to let that go, so he's more interested in negotiating. Because you can see straight away from when he's talking to people about dealing with Walt and then talking to people about dealing with Jesse, his first comments was like, no, I don't do deals with junkies. That's just how he sees Jesse. He's very kind of plain and simple. But when it comes to Walt, and he's a family man, and Gus sees he's trying to do the right thing but maybe questionably in the wrong way and all that sort of thing, it's just brilliant. It's just it's one of the, although there's a lot of good things about Breaking Bad, obviously we could sit here and list, this is one of the, I find this to be one of the best things, just when these two are in the room together, or even if it's them two and like a couple of other characters, let's say if Hector's in the room or something. So yeah, it's pretty damn good. What do you think of this scene?
Yeah, I mean, it's always great seeing them together on screen, and it's the way that they treat it very much like it is a business meeting. You know, there are businessmen, they treat it like a business meeting. And I think that's what makes it work so well. You know, there's they know what they're talking about. They sort of talk around the subject to a certain extent, apart from, I mean, until he does actually directly come out and say, this is, you know, I know it was you. And it's also interesting that, I mean, the reason that he's gone there is because of, partly because of what Jesse said to him earlier, not so much about the amount of money, although I think that has been percolating in his brain a little bit, but also...
Do you think it was the conversation with Jesse that did push him towards this?
But yeah.
There was also obviously the uncertainty of like, okay, what does happen after the 3 months? I think those two things combined, so...
But yeah, I think it's that conversation with Jesse, because you see that look on his face of, that's a point, actually. You know, we've got this 3 months deal. What does happen after 3 months? Particularly if you think, you know, given that he is making that much money out of it. Yeah. Should I be concerned about that? You know, because is it a case of, it's going to be going for 3 months and then I'm going to get killed, and, you know, I can sort of see, I think it's that conversation that puts him in a position of going, you know, I need to talk to Gus about this because I'm a little nervous about where this is actually going. And you know, whether, because you're not going to just let this guy go wandering off after 3 months. What's going to happen at that point? So,
yeah, very good stuff. Saul Goodman encourages Jesse to purchase a nail salon, which he can use to launder the money he makes from the meth business. Jesse flatly refuses, especially since doing so would require him to report his income to the IRS and therefore, or thereby, pay taxes. Tired of having to adhere to the quotas and responsibilities within his new job and wanting a larger cut of the profit, Jesse decides to steal the leftovers of pounds of meth, the bit that he mentioned earlier, and will produce in the lab to sell separately to members of his rehab support group. He enlists Badger and Skinny Pete in this endeavor, and during a meeting, they pose as two new members and initiate a conversation within the group where they mention the blue meth being back, you know, in the town and all that, and everyone sort of piques their interest. So yeah, this is one of the more kind of, certainly you could label this as grey area things that Jesse's doing. Again, you understand as to why, and when characters in this, I guess, franchise, you could call it, make decisions like this, it's that the show does explain very well as to why they're doing these things. Obviously, what I'm talking about is in terms of him trying to sell meth to this support group, which is full of addicts, so that's, you know, got its question marks on it. what I thought, because I this was another one that I kind of briefly remembered as to what sort of choice Jesse makes here, and it's funny when I think it's Badger that says like, oh yeah, I can get like a bottle of something or whatever, and Jesse's just like, nah, none of that rubbish, I've got this. Like, so yeah, it sort of seemed at first that he was going to maybe just sell it on the streets possibly and that, and then they sort of cut to the scene with the support group and you get an idea of what's going on. So yeah, I can't remember where this goes though either. I think I remember a bit where Walt talks to him later about noticing something possibly, because it's to do with the product that they're making, obviously. Anyway, what do you think of this? What Jesse's deciding to do here?
Yeah, it's so reckless of Jesse. I mean,
that's a good way to describe it, yeah, as well.
Because, as Walt says, you know, yeah, they might not be getting paid as much as they possibly should be, but he's still making a lot of money. And for Walt, you know, they're doing this job, and it is a job as far as Walt concerned, and it's as safe as you can be, I guess, in that sort of environment. You know, you're in a secure place, you turn up, you do the chemistry, you make the cook, you leave, you go home, that's it. You know, it's a job. And for Jesse, he wants the sort of thrill and excitement of being kind of the bad boy, the drug dealer, the, you know, he wants that side of things, and, you know, to the live outside the law kind of stuff. And it's just not what he's used to, you know. I mean, he's just, this is where the Kafkaesque stuff comes in of it's basically the drudgery of a sort of day job where he's not told everything that's going on. There's obviously other stuff going on above him, but he's not party to that. And he's just got to turn up and do what he's told. And that is not his MO at all. So he's rebelling and he's going to kind of go and try and sell this stuff. And I think you're right. I can't remember exactly where this goes, but I think I suspect it gets to a point where Walt notices that the weights are slightly off.
He's very particular about that. So
yeah, you know, because he's, you know, and Jesse's made that remark about, and obviously that's how he's getting the meth, is he's skimming some off the top. So yeah, I mean, it's, and I mean, it's sort of clever of Jesse. I mean, it's evil of Jesse to go to a support group of these poor people that are trying to kick habits, and then start talking about the fact that, you know, there's this amazing blue meth that was out there, and that's the thing that got him hooked, got them back hooked, and then, and to say, oh, it's back out there on the street. And the way that they're doing it in the meeting is just, I mean, it's really quite evil, that. But yeah, it's a really dangerous thing to be doing, because at the end of the day, Gus wants complete control of that distribution. And if he suddenly finds that somebody is selling outside of his network, I mean, it might not be a huge amount, but it's sort of the principle of the thing. So there is a danger to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's very stupid of him. But yeah, so I can't remember exactly how that plays out there.
Marie becomes increasingly frustrated about being unable to find a means to pay for Hank's physical therapy, as their insurance will not cover the therapist. Skylar offers to pay their bills directly using Walt's drug money. She fabricates a story of Walt being a compulsive blackjack gambler, saying that this has been the cause of their recent marital problems. She explains that Walt took to gambling to pay for his medical bills after his cancer diagnosis, and after some losses, and his winnings have netted them an amount with seven figures. Marie is left shocked and appalled, but agrees to take their money to pay for Hank's therapy. There's obviously the bit after this, the, you know, learn from the best thing and all that. We'll get to that in a minute. Again, good bit of involvement from Marie in the episode. I remember we said that last week with her sort of being... that was more particularly to do with his gun being taken away and that. And that whole situation, which is one of the factors that landed him landed Hank in the situation. I couldn't remember, like, oh, is she about to tell? But then I thought to myself, like, no, there's no way she can say that, because that would cause a chain effect. If Skylar was to say to Marie about, oh yeah, he's been doing meth business and all that kind of stuff, because obviously, you know, DEA agent is related to them. This was a good way to set this up. I'm curious to see, curious to try to remember, rather, I guess you could say, where this particular plot line goes. Because you've got two plot lines set up in this episode, which is the money from Walt to Marie, and then what Jesse's doing, and how those things possibly collide and that sort of thing. I honestly can't remember where those things go. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be cool. What do you think of this bit?
Yeah. This is interesting how Skylar brings this up, and you can see the panic on Walt's face when she first, because he thinks that she's about to just sort of say, oh, by the way, he's making money from making meth, you know, and comes out with this gambling thing. I sort of remembered, again, it was one of those things that I hadn't remembered until in the moment she said it. It's like, oh yeah, I remember she did that. But I can't remember exactly how this plays out. Whether this sort of carries on until Hank finally finds out, or I don't know, I can't remember. So it's sort of interesting that this kind of setup, and you know, it's now sort of known that Walt has money in the family. So yeah.
Yeah, we'll see where those things go. Walt expresses surprise in Skylar's ability to come up with such an elaborate story on the fly. Skylar tells Walt that she learned from the best and added that she believes he is somehow responsible for the attack on Hank and that she is not forgetting that. Again, brilliant, just like these are the sorts of exchanges I was talking about earlier between these two, of there's only a certain amount that Walt can bite back with these sorts of parts.
Mm-hmm.
And Walt is, well, clearly frustrated with that, but can't even really show his frustration with that either. So I think that's it's an interesting, different kind of like thing for Walt to try to deal with. But I suppose, I mean, she's not really lying. Like, he's the one that came up with all sorts of different lies and things and all that kind of stuff. They're not forgetting that part. I can't remember if that leads to anything majorly significant or if it's just like a thing that she says. It was still a good sort of moment than that. Again, you got kind of in a bit of a different way, you got sort of this silent guilt from Walt of sort of, yeah, you know, if he hadn't started this, although again he's doing it for a good reason or trying to do it for a good reason, you know, Hank might not be in the hospital bed and all this other kind of stuff might not happen and she wouldn't have just had to lie to Marie, and it's an interesting kind of domino effect that's going on. But yeah, I like seeing Walt try to deal with these sorts of things. So what do you think of this end of the episode?
Yeah, I mean, the Skylar becomes sort of more interesting as you get further into the show. She sort of, you know, starts off being appalled and then kind of ends up being somewhat complicit in, you know, because of the fact that she doesn't turn Walt in. She ends up using the money, I mean, admittedly for reasonable things, you know. She's not going and like blowing it on cars and that sort of stuff. She's using it to help Hank and that, you know, but she does make an interesting change for that character. And then one of the things we haven't really mentioned is the fact that, you know, Ted turning up because there is a point where Ted turns up when him and Marie, where Skylar and Marie are at the house, and that relationship is sort of, you know, she seems to be pulling away from that as well. So yeah, it's interesting to see Skylar evolve over the show, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Alright, so in the end of the episode, we do have a couple of bits of feedback. If you'd like to write into the show, let us know what you think of the show so far, if it's your first time, or however many times you've been through the show, your opinions and all that sort of stuff. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, Twitter eTalkUK, and there's information in your show notes. Harrison writes in first and says, I'm enjoying the show, but so far it hasn't become that show, to me at least. There was there a moment or episode where the show clicked for you? I think the end of the pilot episode. I think if I'm to define the sort of moment, it's when Walt thinks he's getting caught in the pilot, records that video, obviously that's when he's got more hair and that sort of thing. And he's got like his, whatever you want to call it, whatever gun you want to call it, his six shooter. He sort of pulls that out and he literally is in this last stand kind of moment, when he's literally just started doing what he's trying to do, and the police car drives straight past him, and he has this moment of like, because that car, a police car, was obviously meant for somebody else, but it's like full, I think if I remember, it's full headlights, full siren, it's going at full speed, and it drives past him, But he thinks like, oh, they're here for me, and this is it. I'm gonna have to make a last stand, and I'll film this video for Skylar, and I love the kids, and all that sort of thing. Yeah, that was where it clicked. I mean, I was enjoying the pilot episode up until then, and then that was sort of like, wow, I can't wait to see where this thing goes. So I don't know in that moment if it had become, if I sort of thought, oh, this is the show everyone talked about. I can't remember when that moment would have been, although it just happened over the course of watching the show. Because, I mean, that can be kind of a, not in regards to overrating something, but when you hear for a certain period of time, like, you've got to watch this show, you've got to watch this show. And especially, I imagine, when Breaking Bad was on week to week, especially in its later seasons, let's say maybe 4 and 5. And you would just constantly hear, like, up there with the best thing ever, is this better than Game of Thrones, all this kind of stuff. And it does, although we all have our own TV lists and things that we watch, or you might look at something and think, like, oh, that might not be as good as what they're all saying. And that does add a certain amount of more pressure to a show, because then it has to be, you know, this gigantic thing. So there's that element to it as well. So maybe that's a bit of what's coming across, is you're expecting something even bigger because of the way maybe you've heard the show being talked about. And I remember, I think, logging onto Netflix around 2013, 14 or something, and there was this big, you know how Netflix does like their splash screen things when you open mm-hmm. Netflix, and it's got like the splash screen advert for a show, and it was like, it all ends this week, or it was something, I can't remember the exact line, I'm talking nearly 10 years ago, and it was like, it all ends this week, and it had this really cool looking picture of Heisenberg, and I was like, oh, that looks kind of intriguing. And I'd already heard by that point that the show was like this massive deal, and it was really, really good, and, you know, is this better than Sopranos, is this better than The Wire, etc., etc. So I understand that. But yeah, for me it was the end of the pilot, that moment for me, the end of the pilot, when that car goes past him, I was like, huh, this might be kind of something different, and it was. So what about for you?
Yeah, I mean, I watched it as it went out initially in the UK, when it was on Fox, I think, originally, with the first people that aired it. But yeah, I mean, I watched it then, and it was one of these things of like, oh, it's that guy from Malcolm in the Middle in it. This is a, and I think I'd seen the trailers for it, and the trailers just looked weird. And you were like, what is this? So I happened to stick it on one night. And yeah, it's the end of that pilot. I was sort of hooked from that point, I think. That was when it just grabbed me. You know, the pilot was like, it just not what you expected. And then that sort of the iconic scene that they used in the trailer of him sort of stood in the tighty whities with just his shirt on, like staring at this road of the car, you know, I mean, all that sort of stuff. It was sort of that, and like, okay, well, this is a really intriguing joke, so I'm going to watch the rest of this. Mm. So yeah, it's pretty much from that point, I think.
It's funny that you mentioned trailers. I never remember seeing a trailer come up for it, or at least I don't remember watching a trailer for it. I just sort of saw, like, the first time I was, what was it? I think I started hearing about it online. This wasn't in, definitely wasn't in the first season. I don't remember in 2008, although I was in a different, you know, situation in 2008 when it started. I don't remember hearing anything about it. But then I was at, where was I in 2008? High school, yeah. Still playing, still playing Call of Duty 4 from 2007. Although, no, World at War would have been out by that point. But anyway, going through high school, I can't remember sort of like what I had access to or anything like that, like what sort of streamers or where I was watching TV and that sort of thing. Do you remember what year YouTube started? Because obviously YouTube's where we all go to now for trailers, isn't it?
YouTube's been around for years.
Yeah. So, but I don't remember anything coming up with that, or there was certainly, I mean, it probably wasn't targeted towards, friends I was spending time with at school, and I don't
Well,
remember like
no, I
any.
mean, that's the thing. And I mean, we spoke at length about this with the way Breaking Bad was treated over here when it first launched. It was bounced around. I think it was Fox aired the first season, and then Channel 5 aired the second, maybe the third season, but they aired the second season, then buried the third season. It ran over 7 nights over Christmas. When I mean, it was really weird. It was like they ran it every night over a week. It was really odd how it was scheduled, and then it disappeared entirely. It wasn't really until the Netflix, I think, picked up the first three seasons and then started running it the day after the US. It wasn't really until that sort of third, fourth season that,
Which is weird because that's so late in the game, isn't it?
Because it had sort of become this huge show, there wasn't as much sort of connectivity online between the US and the UK talking about shows. I mean, I mean, Twitter was around, but it wasn't what it is now.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I mean, it wasn't what it is in its heyday, and certainly isn't what it is now. But I mean, YouTube was around. YouTube was 2005 for YouTube, 2006 for Twitter. So, but they weren't really the things that they are now. It was little things that people use. It wasn't sort of big corporations that were getting involved in social media stuff as much as they do now. So I don't know. I mean, some people were talking about it, but it really wasn't until Netflix picked it up in the UK that it massively became the show that it was.
Yeah, definitely. Caroline writes in, excuse me, Caroline writes in says, thank you for your continued dialogue with both me and my husband, who very welcome. Here's a different question for you. How do you find it to be on each other's podcast? And for David, how do you find going from different Geek Town co-hosts to an eTalk UK podcast? I appreciate the content. I'll answer your second question in a second because it's to do with something separate. I guess I'll let you answer it. How do you find it going from like because from week to week on a well, I assume you record all of them on Monday. From because it's what me, Bex, Robert, Gray, and Daryl and that. So yeah, how do you find kind of rotating between them and then I guess coming over here?
Well, I mean, the rotating of the podcast co-hosts was something that came out of a necessity because of the fact that when we first started that, I there was it was a regular show with two co-hosts. It was me and a guy called Chris, who was a work colleague of mine. I haven't spoken to Chris in a while, actually, but lovely, lovely guy. But it just got to the point for him where his life got in the way, and there was too much other stuff going on, and he just couldn't commit to doing it every single week. And I was finding that, with regular co-hosts, that was also going to be a problem. Because it's a lot to ask somebody to basically come on and co-host a podcast every single week when they've got day jobs doing other stuff, So rather than do that, I started to just sort of ask different people. And what was quite nice about that was that everybody has a slightly different angle. So, with Matt, you're a bit like me. You're sort of generally all round and watch, films, TV shows, and play video games. Gray doesn't play games at all, but he's very into his movies. Daryl is much more focused on particular types of stuff, more the Canadian stuff, and he tends to go trawling through the streaming services, so comes up with interesting little things that maybe other people have missed. Robert's much more kind of gaming led. Bex is far more sort of live events, the indie games, and general sort of geek stuff. And she's obviously much more hard sort of sci-fi as well, so she has a slightly different perspective as well. So yeah, everybody has this slightly different viewpoint, which I think makes it a slightly more interesting show, because you know you're not going to get exactly the same thing every single week. You're going to get, it makes me the constant, and then the co-hosts bring different perspectives this week. So that I kind of like that, they're all people. I mean, they're not people that I've all met in real life. In fact, I think the only other co-host I've actually met, I mean, I met Daryl, because Daryl's also covers MCM and the Comic Cons, and I met Bex, but that's the only two people I've actually met in person.
Have you not met Gray before?
No, not in person. No.
Oh, okay. And obviously Robert's overseas, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. David's never met. We've never met each other.
We've
either,
never met, so. Actually in person. No, he's been a disembodied voice at the end of a microphone. Just, so, yeah.
I'm gonna guess at one point we'll be at an MCM together, because you go to basically all of them.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that may happen at some point.
Yeah, I might be going to the one next month. I'm keeping an eye on the guest list though. So.
Yes.
Because for me, I want that to be, because I'm not really going to be doing there for interviews and stuff. I mean, if I manage to strike up, but like if I manage to speak to somebody like Nikki Rapp, like I did before, then that will just be a coincidence. I'll just be going there to sort of, oh, look at this person who I've seen on such and such. So yeah, there's that. For me, it's obviously the main thing is obviously doing this and prepping everything and that kind of stuff, because some people have said like, oh, is it just you just talk on the internet? And it's like, nah, it's a bit more than that. It depends how involved it all gets and what you yourself decide to do, because there's obviously not everything's all the same format and things like that, and some people do their shows completely differently and choose to cover things completely differently, and it depends like what are you even covering, because some people hone in on like one franchise or one topic and make loads, like this whole Walking Dead dedicated YouTube channels, and they just like they watch everything and do it like, you know, loads and loads of stuff. But my idea from the start was I want to talk about kind of everything, which stretches things out a little bit, admittedly. Obviously there's a difference with that. The other difference as well between, let's say, obviously when it's with regularly with you and then regularly with Robert, there has to be at a certain time that we obviously both agree with, whereas, and at a reasonable time as well, whereas if I'm finishing like a season of TV at like 1 in the morning, but okay, I'm going to still be able to get to like do an episode and then still be able to get, you know, a good amount of sleep, but also get the podcast done, rather than finishing a show and then trying to go to sleep, which just wouldn't really work that way. I tried to figure out my own thing around that. But then obviously if I was finishing a season of TV, let's say at 1 in the morning, it wouldn't be like, oh, David, do you want to come on the podcast at that time and ask you? But obviously that's entirely like my, that's completely up to me if I'm choosing to do that. On the Geek Town side of things, I find that a lot more, obviously for me, that's a lot more laid back, because I just do the episode. We have maybe a chit chat afterwards and then that's pretty much it. And then I wait to see if the episode comes out. It's interesting for me as well on the listening side of Geek Town. Obviously I do listen to all of them every week. I don't look at the show notes before I start, because I like it to be a surprise as to who's on, so it's like, you know, joining me this week is, and then so that's pretty fun. But it's probably very different for both of us, which is what makes it kind of cool. Interesting how this all kind of started, I guess, which was just because I used to visit the page a lot for like air dates and stuff, because I remember when I started getting more into watching TV and I started trying to look up air dates for things, because I started to add more shows to my list, let's say, and I did happen to keep coming across Geek Town. I had no idea who obviously you were or anything else like that. It was just another website I visited, and then just by happenstance at one point I happened to scroll, I can't remember which page it was on, the website's probably a bit different now, I happened to scroll down a bit further than I usually do, and there was a podcast there, and I remember listening to it all in one go, and I didn't stop or anything because I found it very interesting. And then just on, I don't know what, like, possessed me to do it, on some random whim, I thought, I'm going to randomly ask this guy if I can be on Geektown. And if I'd never sent that email, we might not even be doing this podcast.
No. Well, that's true.
I know.
There were a couple of people. I mean, Gray came a similar way. Was at the time I was looking for more people to come on as co-hosts because, you know, I only had a couple of people involved, and I got in discussions with you and Gray, and that was how you got involved with it, and how Entertainment Talk was really born out of that.
Yeah, don't underestimate how much of a massive part you were of that, by the way.
Because at the time you'd done like little bits and pieces on YouTube and stuff, hadn't you? But your recording was not great, I think, it's at that early time. So we were like,
I remember when I started trying to figure that out, and I was like, I don't even know what to use.
So I was trying to get you set up on like getting the recording stuff working and all that side of things, and actually getting it so you could hear you properly and all that sort of stuff. Getting all that moving and getting Entertainment Talk, helping you get Entertainment Talk up and running, and for me, I mean, coming on the Entertainment Talk stuff is really easy because I don't, you know, you do all the show notes for it. All I've, you know, it's a show that I basically sat and watched, and all I've really got to do is turn up and talk about it, unlike doing my own stuff where I have to sit and meticulously edit everything. And I mean, you know, because my stuff is fairly heavily edited, and then I've got to do show notes, and you know, you've got to edit it together, you've got to put it up, you've got to like put it out across social media, and all the additional stuff that you have to do to get some traction on it. It's a lot, that's a lot more work, whereas with this, all I'm going to do is turn up, record, leave, you know. So it's doing like the occasional Entertainment Talk podcast is not an issue at all for me.
Nice. By the way, for some of you who are kind of, well, I guess listening to this and thinking like, okay, what's the easiest and hardest parts? Don't underestimate, and I'm more simple when it comes to I don't make like crazy YouTube thumbnails or anything like that. I just get pictures from Google. Don't underestimate how still annoyingly difficult that can be. That's like, forget notes and things like that. Like trying to get an image that isn't blurry or the right size or that it fits or it's the actual one that you want or it's not got something that you don't want on it, or yeah, that process can take a little bit longer than you might think. But I find that to be one of the more, I usually when I'm going to make a draft, that's usually like one of the first things I get, because I just find that personally annoying to do, whether it's I'm doing it wrong this whole time or I don't know. I just I don't know if that's what some of you might have expected, but I would dread to think trying to come up with some of the thumbnails I see on YouTube and how some people do things like that, but I never really had the idea of doing that. So, cool. It's a little bit of backstory on that. Appreciate the content. Fun second question. How do you think my husband's team will do? So he said his team is Everton. You didn't really buy anyone. I don't really know why. Apparently they're getting bought though, so they'll probably get sold before the Glazers sell us. Because there's been talk of that. They might get relegated. They were like 1 point off of doing that last year. I don't know if they've not got money or something, but you would have thought if you were that close to getting relegated, you might want to go and buy somebody. And I don't think that they did. So, Everton's one of them teams that they've been in the league for one of the longer lasting teams that have been. I know you've kind of said that to me before as well, that they've been in the league a very, very long time. What do you think of Everton, I suppose?
You know, I don't really follow football at all.
Yeah.
So I couldn't even tell you. I have no idea where they are in the league. No clue. I mean, I'm sure they'll be fine.
They might be fine.
I'm basing that on absolutely nothing because I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, that's it for this week's episode. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week with that one. I'm looking forward to that. We may have to record at a slightly different time. Not that it's inconvenient or whatever. I'll discuss that with you in a minute. But yeah, in the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org. TV, games, films, Man United podcast. Check out what we do. Man United will be back this weekend against Brighton and then Bayern Munich. Very curious to see how that goes. Gaming talk tomorrow. Film reviews soon. You know, all that kind of stuff. So check out what we do. You can also support us by either listening to more episodes, word of mouth, or social media. You can do one or all three of those things, depending on what you want to do. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look at that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, speaking of Geektown, .co.uk and Geektown Radio on Tuesdays. It was me this week, wasn't it?
It was.
What's going on over there?
Well, I should say, it was you this week. We talked about Starfield, of course, because there is no other video game out there right now. Starfield, you talked about World of the World, War of the Worlds, Foundation, which has been excellent this season. We talked about Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Indiana Jones and Dial of Destiny. There was a new Sky shows. Obviously, we're catching up on the recent strike news. So all that stuff and a lot more. And we also talked about Insomnia as well, which is the gaming festival. There was some great indie games at that festival, so we did talk about that as well. But that's Geektown Radio 396. That is up on wherever you get your podcast, basically. You can find Geektown Radio or go to geektown.co.uk for that. Interesting bit of AMC news dropped this morning that Interview with the Vampire has been sold to the BBC. The AMC show, which is interesting. So you can go find that new story on geektown.co.uk as well. And there's air dates and all that good stuff. There's lots of air dates gone up recently. So you can go and check all that out at geektown.co.uk.
Excellent. So go check all that out. Geektown Radio on Tuesdays, geektown.co.uk. For other people, Bex, you can find over on Twitch, TristaBYTES, and other platforms as well. So go and support what she's doing. Me over on Twitch at eTalkUK, and there's still some stuff for me to put up from YouTube, which is Entertainment Talk Plays. There's some just clips and stuff and parts over there. So there's that. Anyway, thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next week for that episode. We'll see you then. See you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.